My name is Yvette Nolan, and it is appropriate that I'm doing this first thought for the residency inside a theater, which is, it's almost like church for me. We don't have lights or sound or anything yet, but the set is in here at the JGG, the Joseph G. Green at York University, and it's almost like church. Hi, this is Yvette Nolan. Everyone's talking a lot and working towards indigenizing institutions, whether that's theater or the academy or arts organizations. And it's great because for me, it just means that everything has to become more connected, which is an indigenous worldview. But every time we, not every time, often when we start to do something in an indigenous way, we run into, we can't do that, we've always done it this way. Hi, it's Yvette, and this is my third thought of the week. I was lucky enough to see Kent Monkman's installation at the Gardner Museum, The Rise and Fall of Civilization, before it closed. And man, that guy, I mean, what a fantastic lesson in referencing the past, tying it to the present, and showing us a way into the future. He's a fantastic artist, and now the only poster I have in my little room at York University residence is Miss Chief and the Buffalo over my bed. Hi, this is Yvette, and this is my thought for today. I'm actually thinking about the National Art Center's planned initiative to have an Indigenous theater stream alongside the English and the French theater, and thinking about how Indigenous theater in this country has not had a place, a home, for with enough resources to actually develop critical mass. And this just might be our opportunity. It's Yvette Nolan, and it's my second thought this week. It's already so hard, this thing that we do, this making of theater. I'm reminded of a teaching I got when I was working the Walking with Our Sisters installation at Wanuskewin in Saskatoon. An elder who was hanging around in the space with me said, every time we say something negative, it falls out of our mouth and into the ground and poisons it. Whereas if we put positive things into the air, they go up like prayers. Hi, it's Yvette Nolan, and this is my sixth thought. I find myself surrounded by ghosts these days. I was in the studio yesterday working with Michael Grey Eyes on his piece Nokum, which is about his grandmother and a story told to him by his father, George Grey Eyes, who is passed on now but is with us in the room all the time. And at night I come to the university and work on Rayboeuf's Ghost, which is full of ghosts, and we've brought all our ancestors into the room on that one. And of course, this is the week that David Bowie left, and he surrounds us all the time, and all of this makes me think of Michael Green and Michelle Serrada and Lacey Moore and Desjardins, all of whom just left us a year ago. And it can be morbid, but it's also a way of achieving immortality, because they're always with us, even if we don't say their names or remember that these are our inspirations. Our artistic DNA is changed by them. Hi, it's Yvette Nolan. I'm opening a show tonight, and I am haunted by the words of all the artists who go before me. Yeats, the fascination of what's difficult. And Beckett, fail better. And I love it. But what would you be if you didn't even try? You have to try. Hi, it's Yvette Nolan. I did a public conversation yesterday with Daniel David Moses and moderated by Michael Grey Eyes at York University as part of Decolonizing Pan America, Performance, Activism, and Indigeneity. And what was really heartening about the conversation and the process and the afternoon that we spent together was between the students and the scholars and the artists who were in the room, it felt like we were actually creating new knowledge. And I think that's what the university is supposed to be about. Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. Divette, I'm thinking my last thought. I'm thinking about Randy Schiltz today, who wrote the book And the Band Played On, which was a hugely important book to me about the AIDS crisis in America. And it was so important that I wrote to him, sent him a letter saying how the book had changed my life and the way I looked at the world. And a few months later, he was dead of AIDS. I didn't even know that he was sick. I was so grateful that I had taken the time to tell him what he and his work had meant to me. It didn't matter whether he got the letter or not. I had done that because I realized that I don't want to ever regret not having said something to someone, not having ever thanked the people who made a difference in my life. So, je ne regrette rien.